Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Daf Chaf. We're on the top line of the Amid, the last word of the top line. Boi minei Abaye Merabba. So Abaye asked Rabba the following question regarding Pasi Berois, which are these four double-cornered boards surrounding the Be'er, and the Rabban, which create an enclosure which is considered to be Ushas HaYachid. So Abaye asked Rabba the following question. Chotzer, if we have a chotzer, courtyard, Sheroisha Nichnas, Leben HaPasin, who is heading into the area between these pasim, meaning there's an entranceway, there's an opening from the courtyard to the area between the pasim. Maula Tatum Mitoicha Leben HaPasin, may one carry an object from the chotzer to this area within the boards, which is also Shesayachet, Umi Ben HaPasin L'Soicha. And can a person carry back from the Ben HaPasin area into the chotzer? Now, why would I think there's a concern here? So perhaps the area of the Ben HaPasin in between these boards, since it's designated for the use of the Oiler Regel to draw water for their animals, perhaps it's considered to be their place of residence. And as we know, when we have two places of residence near each other, that requires an Eir Chatzeris to allow carrying from one to the other, in order to merge the residency, in order to combine the usage area into one Makam Dira. So the question is, can the Bnei Chatzer make use of the Makam between the Pasim? Can they carry from one place to the other without making an Erev? So this is the question to Rabba. Amar Leis, so Rabba responded, Mutar, certainly that's okay, because the area between these boards, the Bnei Pasim area, is not really a designated Makam Dira, it's an informal usage area. Therefore, it doesn't constitute a din of Makam Dira. It doesn't require an Erev to be established between the Bnei Chatzer and anybody else. So he asked him, fine, that's regarding one chatzer. Shtayimai, let's say we have two chatzeres, two courtyards, which are heading into this area of the Bein HaPasim. What is the halacha there? So that would be like the diagram here on the Rashi, on the right side, towards the middle of the Amud. So we have the Be'er with the posts surrounding it. And then on the bottom we have the two chatzers heading into the Bein HaPasim. So we have such a situation. It's not just one chatzer, but it's two chatzeres which are accessing the same area between the boards. What is the halacha there? Can they make use of this area? Can they transfer in and out of the Bein HaPasim? Shtayim mai. What is the halacha by two chatzeres? Amar lei. So Rabbi responded, Aser. In this case, they cannot transfer things to and from the area between the boards. Amar Rav Huna. Shtayim asurin. You should know, when we speak about two chatzeres, that they are usher to transfer, that's even vafilu irvu. Even if these two chatzeris establish an erev chatzeris amongst each other. For instance, if there is an entranceway in the wall dividing the two courtyards, as we see in the picture here in Rashi, so you'll notice in the dividing wall between the two courtyards, there's an entranceway. There's a little gap there, which is really like a pesach, through which the two chatzeres actually established an erev chatzeres, a proper erev amongst themselves to combine and join their usage. It becomes one area of residence, and they can transfer from one chatzer to the other. Says Rav Huna, even if the two courtyards have already established a proper erev chatzeres amongst themselves, they still cannot make use of the erev between the pasim. Why? Shtayim masur v'afilu irvu. Why? There's a concern that perhaps this can lead to confusion and mistake. An onlooker, for instance, a person standing in the Bein HaPasim, taking a look at these members of the Chatziris transferring items back and forth into the Bein HaPasim area, perhaps they'll say, Shema Yoimru, Erev Moil, the Bein HaPasim. An Erev is effective for the area of Bein HaPasim, meaning this person might not realize that there was a proper Erev established through that entranceway in the dividing wall. He'll think there was no entranceway there. There's a fully dividing wall between the two courtyards. What happened was they established an Erev through the area of Bein HaPasim. They treated it like a mavi. So just like, generally speaking, the courtyards merge their usage and ownership through the mavi, which binds them together, which ties them together. So we have courtyards which head into a mavi, an alleyway, which gives them access to Rishus HaRabim. So how are they allowed to transfer into the mavi? By creating a type of erev called a shituf mavois, a partnership, which merges their usage of the mavi, makes it all to one large happy family, thereby allowing them to transfer from the chatzar to the mavi, from the mavi to the chatzar. It becomes all one joint usage area. Now, that's okay by an ordinary mavi, which is reserved for the use of the members of the chatzeris. It's their alleyway. So by placing some bread, by gathering together this erev, they're all merging, they become partners in this huge area in the mavi and the chatzeris that are leading into it, thereby allowing them to transfer from the chatzar to the mavi, from the mavi to the chatzar without any concern. But over here, when we have the pasan, which is not really reserved for their personal use, it's a publicly accessed area. It's not meant exclusively for the members of the chatzar. So they cannot go ahead and create a shit of mavois through this Beinah Pasim area. This can't serve like an alleyway which joins together the members of the various chatzeris, because it's not designated for them. So this fellow who's looking at them using the Beinah Pasim, transferring from the chatzar to the Beinah Pasim, from the Beinah Pasim back to the chatzar, where it appears that the chatziris are all joining and partnering together and becoming one huge usage area, he'll think, well, it's because they use the mavi as the agent, as the bonding agent, as a manner of joining, a way of joining them together, making them into partners, turning all the residents of the chatziris into one residence, into one dira, which allows them to transfer to and from the chatziris to the Beinah Pasim. And really, it's a mistake, it's a misconception, because the Beinah Pasim cannot serve this purpose. He won't realize that it was a legitimate Erev that was established through the entranceway, the other Pesach, which is present in that dividing wall. So in order to avoid this concern, this confusion, Rav Huna says, even if the two chatziris have already established an Erev amongst themselves, through that Pesach, which is present in the wall, which is separating the two adjacent chatziris, they still cannot carry to and from the Beinah Pasim to avoid confusion. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, the top line of Rashi. Omalei Muta, this is getting back to the first question, Abaye asked Rabba, if one chatzir on his own is heading to the area between the boards, can he go ahead and transfer to and from that area? So he said, certainly yes, it's Mutar, the Halakha, the Yurin, Beinah Pasim. There are no residents between those boards, the Lisra, Layu, to go ahead and prohibit Adabnei Chatzar, to make it also the Lehavi Moiti, Mishus Lishus Chaveroi, for it to be considered as though he's taking something from his Rishus, his usage area, his Chatzar, to the Rishus of his friend, the Beinah Pasim. There's somebody living there, it's no concern. Now what about the two Chatzars, Shtayim Zuitzelzu? So we have one Chatzar alongside the other, Umachitza Beinem, there's a wall between them, Ushtayim Roshim Beinah Pasim, and they're both heading to the same direction, to between the boards. Also, letalta mesechem ben apasim, one cannot carry from the chatzar to the ben apasim, because the fire's time, Rav Huna, as Rav Huna will explain, and Rav Huna continues and says that by two, you cannot, even if there was an erev. Explains Rashi, v'afilu irvu derech ha-pesach, shemechitza shebeneim, even if they established a proper erev, through the entranceway in the mechitza, which is dividing them, tashtachad aninu, now they're considered to be one merged usage entity. It's one dira, it's one residence, because of that Erev Chatziris. And they don't disturb each other. They can go ahead and transfer from one Chatzir to the other because they established a proper Erev. Still in all, Asuris Lataltal Mitoichan Ben Apasim. They cannot transfer from themselves to the Ben Apasim. Gzeira. Shema Yomiru Erev Moil Ben Apasim. Lushatav Chatziris Yachat. Perhaps a person will say that you can make an erev through the area of Beinah Pasim in order to join together the various courtyards. Sharoya isan metalton mesechel Beinah Pasim. Because a person who's watching them carry from their chatzar to the Beinah Pasim, lo yada deish pesach beineyem, he's not aware of the additional entranceway in between those two courtyards. Vesavar, he'll think, haidele asna dadi, besech Beinah Pasim. He'll think, why? Is there no Isser? Why don't they disturb each other, disrupt each other? They don't cause each other Isser to carry through this area of Ben HaPasim. Why is it different than other Shash Shechatzeris that are open to a Mavi? Why are they different than your typical two courtyards which are open, accessing a single alleyway? In this case, they're not allowed to carry into the alleyway unless they did Shit of Mavois, they joined their, merged their ownership. Why is this case different? Why are they using this Ben HaPasim? Because they place the Erev in the area of Ben HaPasim, Kishidur Shar Mavi, just like another Mavi. So they use the Ben HaPasim as the bonding agent to join the Chatzeris. And this will lead to a mistake. It will lead to people allowing, bringing items in and out of the Chatzeres to the Pasim, Kileka Pesach Benayim, even when there's no Pesach, additional doorway between those courtyards, V'yavi Erev Ba'achas Chatzeres Echan HaPasim, even when there's no Pesach, which enabled them to put an Erev through that Pesach, even without that, people think, well, it can make an Erev through the Ben HaPasim area. So it's like a Mavi, like an alleyway, which joins the two Chatzeres together. And that's not correct. That certainly couldn't help. The Rabban only established the concept of Shituf HaMavois when it's a proper alleyway, which is designated for their use. But Mavi Sasam Tikkun, they established only when it's a closed off Mavi. It's a long one. Vizem, a foolish labor, Stadav, this one is broad and open, exposed on all sides, and it's meant for public use. This can serve as the bonding agent to partner together, to merge together the chatzeres that are attached to it, that are accessing it. So this can lead to confusion. And therefore, says Rav Huna, they can't even make use of this joint usage area, even if they've already established a proper Erev chatzeres through the other entranceway, which is a proper Erev. Lest one might confuse things and think, well, look, they joined together using this area of Pasei Barois, which is incorrect. Says the Gemara, seven lines from the top. So this was Rav Huna's chiddush. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar Erev Mutar. If indeed they established a proper Erev through that other entranceway, which is present in that wall which divides them, then they can carry even through the area of the Ben HaPasim. We're not concerned about this confusion about this gzeir. Omli Abai LaRava. I have a raya to you. Tanya, the Messiah, there's a bright side that supports you. The Brisa says chatzer sheroisha echad nichas leben apasim. So if we have one chatzer on his own, heading into the area of bein apasim, mutal talta matoich leben apasim, one can carry from the chatzer to bein apasim, and same thing in reverse. Bein apasim lesoicha carry something from between the pasim into the chatzer. Why not? Aval shtayim aser. But if there are two chatzers which are leading into the bein apasim, then they cannot use this area. This is what we just said, that they cannot transfer from their chatzah to the Ben HaPasim and back. That's only if they hadn't yet established an Erev amongst themselves. Aval Irvu, but in a case where they did make an Erev, such as in this case that we discussed, when there is a Pesach, another additional entranceway, present in that dividing wall, in which case they're allowed to make a standard Erev Chatzeris. So once they did that, Mutar, then they're certainly allowed to transfer through the board area as well. Lema tavituta Rav Huna. Perhaps this will be a refutation of Rav Huna, who does not allow when there are two chatzeres, even when they make an Erev. Omlach Rav Huna, Rav Huna will respond, Hasam, you know what that Braisa is speaking about? Not just a standard Erev. The Hadron va'arvan. What happened was that wall in between them totally broke apart. It created a breach between these two chatzeres, which case is pretty clear and obvious. That is considered to be one large area. The two courtyards are not considered to be separate entities, in which case they don't even need an Erev. And therefore, there's no room for any confusion, and certainly they're allowed to carry from one chatzah to the other, from the chatzah to the Ben HaPasim, without any concern. So in summary, when we have a chatzah which is nichnas lapasim, if it's one chatzah, certainly there's no concern with carrying to and from the Ben HaPasim. We have two chatzahs, so if there was a simple Erev through an entranceway, And we have machlekes. Rava says it's okay, Rav Huna says it's not. When it's nifritzu, that wall in between them broke apart, in which case it's clear and obvious that both chatzeres are one single entity, there's no concern of any confusion. All realize that the reason why they're carrying is because it's considered to be one chatzer, and there's no room for gzera. Continues the Gemara. So I asked Rabbi another question regarding Pasei Berois. Yom Shumayim B'Shabbos Mao. We know that the Pasei Berois was established for the benefit of the Oile Regel, so they can have adequate water supply for their animals. So the entire concept of the Mechitza here is to create a usage area for drawing water from the well. Yom Shumayim B'Shabbos Mao. What if the water was depleted? It dried up on Shabbos. Can we still continue carrying within this enclosure or not? Armalei's rabbi responded, Klum nasas mechitza, el bishm ulmayim. Wasn't the entire concept of mechitza here based on the need for drawing water? Mayim einkan, mechitza einkan. If there's no water, mechitza is no longer valid. So this isn't like a temple of mechitza where it's just a mechitza. Regardless of what it's being used for, this mechitza is unique. It was only established for the sake of the water. Chacham generally wouldn't allow using this incomplete mechitza, which is enclosing an area which, in the final analysis, is mostly exposed. So generally, we don't allow it. It's only for the sake of the oile regel, for the sake of drawing water. So it's for the necessity that's allowing it. But if there's no water there, then we don't treat these mechitzas as valid mechitzas. Boi Raven, Yom Shumayim B'Shabbos. Let's say water dried up on Shabbos, so the supply was depleted. And then what happened? Ubo Mayim B'Shabbos. More water showed up on Shabbos, began to rain. Suddenly, the well filled up. Ma, what is Halacha now? Amalei Abayi. So Abayi responded, Yavshu B'Shabbos. Regarding the first element of your question, when the water dried up on Shabbos, Loiti B'Halach, you shouldn't have any question. It's pretty clear, the boy named Demar, because I already asked Mar, my Rebbe, which was Rabba, the same question, who Pashatli the Aser. And he responded that it's Aser, when there's no water present, the Mechitzas become deactivated. That's regarding your first question. Likewise, your second question shouldn't either be something questionable, meaning when the water showed back up on Shabbos. What is the halacha there? That also seems to be pretty clear and obvious. Why? It's considered to be a mechitza which was constructed on Shabbos, meaning when the water shows up again, the mechitza has been reconstructed, so to speak. Certainly, a mechitza, even when constructed on Shabbos, is considered to be a kosher mechitza. V'tani v'lo yitun b'raisa kol mechitza asui b'Shabbos, and a mechitza which was made on Shabbos itself, ben b'shoigig, ben b'mezid, ben b'oynes unwillingly, ben b'rotzen willingly, shma mechitza. So even if perhaps we're speaking, a person did an iser, but the fact of the matter is, a mechitza is a mechitza regardless. So in this case as well, the fact that the water returned to the area, that reactivates the mechitza. Says, but that's not so simple. V'lav itmar lo, but haven't we learned an interpretation on this braisa? Omer of Nachman, lo yishonu, el elizrik. The braisa, which considers this mechitza constructed on Shabbos as a proper mechitza, that's only said regarding lizrik, meaning min ha-Torah, it's considered a mechitza. So if one throws an item into this enclosure from Rosh Hashanah, he's chayef. Aval atal t'loy, but to allow carrying within this contained area, certainly cannot carry on Shabbos. So, it's not so simple. Abaye is proposing that this is such a simple question, that if the water returns and the mechitza becomes reconstructed, so to speak, there's certainly no question that he can carry within his mechitzas. Rav Nachman seems to say, that with the Rabban you cannot. Says the Gemara, ki itma de Rav Nachman. You know when Rav Nachman said that we're limited? That's amazed itma. It's only when a person intentionally constructed the mechitza, he did an iser. In that case, there's a knas. The chum did not allow a person to carry due to a penalty, but min adin. Certainly, let's say if it was b'shoigig, of course the mechitza is considered to be a valid mechitza. So only when it's b'mezid, it didn't iser b'mezid, do we restrict him. But in the case of other than mezid, for instance, in our case, where it began to rain, so nobody did anything wrong, certainly there's no question the mechitza would be a proper mechitza and one can carry through it. Omer Belezer, Hazurik Levin Pasei Berois Chayef, if one was to throw an object from Rosh Hashanah into the contained area between the Pasei Berois, which is a Rosh Hashayachid, this fellow is Chayef. It's Chayef Achatas. Says Mapshita, of course. Ilav Machitzahi. If this wouldn't be considered a Machitza Menatayr, Rosh Hashayachid Menatayr, Heichim Mishir Leila Malis. Why would anybody be allowed to draw water from the well into the confines of the Bein HaPasim? Certainly, Menatayr is considered Rosh Hashayachid. So once we realize it's Chiddush, when it throws into this area, we consider it Rosh Hashayachid and it's Chayef. Of course. Loit Tzricha, says the Gemara, apparently Rav Elazar's halacha is said in the case of the Avad Kein Pase Berois Bishus Aram. There was no well there. This person constructed something which resembles Pase Berois in Rishus Aram. So he constructed these four double post corners, despite the fact that there was no Be'er there. It's on dry land. Rav Elazar tells us that even in this case, it's considered Rishus Hayachid. So if a person constructs this v'zorach l'soich and throws into this area from Shisram Yishai, because, despite the fact there's no water there, this type of enclosure constitutes a Rosh Hashayachid Menatayr. Says Hanami Pshita. This is also pretty obvious. That Pasi Berois, even in the absence of water, is considered a Rosh Hashayachid Menatayr. Why is this self-evident? Ila de ba'alma machitze. If not for the fact that, generally speaking, even without water, this configuration is considered to be a proper enclosure, a proper mechitza mina Torah, at least. If not for that, gabei bor yechem mishra le'tatali. When there is a bor, how can one carry within this? Meaning, how can one draw from the bor, which is a shayachid, into the area beside the bor, which is merely being contained by these posts? If not for the fact that it's considered to be a shayachid mina Torah. So apparently, this configuration, this enclosure, mina Torah, is a shayachid. Regardless of the bor's presence, it's inconceivable to say that the bor turns into Rosh Hashayachid. That's only a rabbinic clause that they require the bor to be the water to be there. But it's certainly based on the premise that this type of enclosure, Minat Torah, is considered a proper enclosure, even when there's no water there. So what's your blessed chiddush here? Says in Mulei Tzricha, must be speaking about a case of Afagav the Kabaki by Rabim. Blessed is telling us even when the Rabbim, the public, is traversing this area of the post, they're going right through it. Nevertheless, these machitzes hold their own ground, and the area within them is still considered Rosh Hashayachid. So what's Rav Elazar coming to teach us? That the Rabbim have no power to come along and negate machitzes. We already know that. Homer Rav Elazar, Chadazim, Rav Elazar himself already told us the same thing elsewhere. This non Rabbi Doimer. If the derech of the Rabbim was cutting through the Pase Berois, he should go ahead and make a detour, divert the access route of the public to the sides of the Pase Berois. They shouldn't be going through it because they're going to negate the machitzes if they come through it. There's absolutely no need. Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Elazar, Damit Havayu. And on that, Rabbi Yochan and Rabbi Elazar both exclaimed, and they made this following interpretation, right over here, in this halacha, that the Chachamim are not concerned about the Rabbim coming through these Pasei Berois. Right over here, you've become notified and informed regarding the power of Mechitzes. Look, they even stand firm and hold their ground in the face of public traffic that's opposing them. So in any case, Rav Elazar already told us this concept elsewhere. So why is he repeating it here? He says, if only from that statement, how about Mina, perhaps I would say Kan. So although he says, Kan hoidiyacha, here, you've been informed, he's just merely interpreting the Rabbanan Shita. But perhaps he himself doesn't agree with this concept. Kan beloy svirle, he himself doesn't agree. Kamash malon. That's why he informs us this halacha over here. It's Rav Elazar himself giving us the din. And this teaches us that he himself agrees with it. Kan usvirli. Not only is he making that statement, but he himself actually agrees with it. That the Mechitza can oppose the Rabbim, can hold its ground, maintain a proper Rosh Hashayachid in the face of public traffic. Says the Gemara, if so, v'lei maha, v'lei gayach. Why can't he simply tell us our Haldin over here without the other statement on the Shita Sacham, which seems to be a redundant statement? Why say the same thing twice? Says more, indeed, he only said it once. It's the one over here that he said, and the other one was merely derived, somebody, a Talmud, somebody derived it from the statement by us. Chada one, Mechlal Chaver Itma, was learned and derived from the other one. So some Reb Leza tells us that a mechitza created by Bein HaPasim is considered to be a proper mechitza min HaTorah, and the Gemara concludes, even when there are rabim, the public traffic accessing through this, through these boards maintain their status, and their sayachet is considered to be intact. Continues the Gemara, mutar l'akrib l'be'er. The Mishnah told us, how close to the be'er can one situate these boards? As close as you want, as long as there's room there, just space for the roisha beruba shel parah, the head and most of the body of the parah, so you can get in there and drink. Tanan also, we learned in the Mishnah elsewhere, lo yamad odam b'shesarabim. A person shouldn't plant his feet in shesarabim, v'yishta b'shesayachet, and lean over into shesayachet and drink. B'shesayachet, likewise, a person shouldn't be standing in shesayachet, v'yishta b'shesarabim, and lean over and drink from a cup in shesarabim. Ela im kain, unless, machnes roisha v'rubay. He inserts his head and most of his body, l'makam shesheise, into that place where he's drinking from. Let's take a look in Rashi here, two lines on the bottom. Elim kein hichnes roisha v'rubay. Why is this required? The chayshina were concerned, shemi yimashich gufoy l'makim raglov. Perhaps his body will be drawn back to where his feet are standing, v'yotzei kli imay. And this will result in him bringing the kli back out with him. So for instance, if he's standing in shus, harabim, and leading into shayach and drinking from a kli, this is a concern that inadvertently, he might actually straighten out his body and bring the kli back with him out to Rishus HaRabim. So he can't do this unless most of his body is inserted in that new Rishus, which diminishes that concern. Continues the Gemara. V'chein begas, the same concept will apply to a wine press. So you know, the water, the wine in the wine press is not yet chayiv in Trumas HaMaishas because it's not considered to be really nigmar malachtoi. The process hasn't really been completed. So a person is drinking on the gas, that shtia, that drinking is not considered to be a formal drink of shtia. It's an informal snack, which does not obligate the separation of tumor semisis. So this only applies if a person is roisha berubay, his head and most of his body is all over the gas, in which case we consider the drinking as an informal drink, which does not require tumor semisis. Okay, so that's the mission. So let's analyze. Gabi Adam, so when it comes to a person, we just said, ha'amar da ba'i roisha v'rubay. We require his head and most of his body inserted in the new rishos. What about by an animal? Gabe para, gabe behema mai. What is the halacha there? If the animal is standing in one rishos and leaning over to another rishos, for instance, in our case we have the pasi b'rois. So the para is leaning partially into the pasi b'rois. What is the halacha there? Mi b'inu la roisha v'rubay. I lie. Do we require that the head and most of the body of the animal is actually been inserted, is present in the nourishus, for instance, in this case, within the containment of the boards of the pasi b'rois, is that required? For concern that if you're holding a kli and feeding the animal, and the animal is only very partially in the rishus hayachad, there's a concern that he might straighten himself out, bring himself out to sarabim, and he might follow along the animal with his kli and carry out to sarabim. So perhaps there is a need to have the most of the animal, the head of most of the animal, in the shayachet, which eliminates this concern. So me be in the roisha v'ruba, oiloi, or perhaps that's not necessary. Explains more, in what context are we speaking? Kolecha de kanoket mana. Whenever the owner is holding on to the kli from which he's feeding the animal, giving the animal to drink. So we're going to see throughout the entire Gemara here, this whole concern is only when the person is actually holding on to the kli, the utensil from which he's feeding the animal. If he places it down on the floor, there's no concern. If he spills it out, certainly no concern. So that's number one. We're speaking about that the owner is actually holding on to the kli from which he's feeding the animal. Kolecha de kanokat mana, when he's holding on to the kli. V'lo inokat lo. And he's not actually holding on to the animal himself. He's not grabbing onto the strap which is around its neck. In which case, there's a concern that perhaps the animal would just decide to move back out and just surround him. He's going to follow with the kli. So in that case, loy tiboy lach, certainly, you have no question. The boy roish v'rubim lakav. There is a requirement for the animal to be mostly inside, the head or mostly the animal inside the Shesayachid, to avoid, to eliminate this concern, that he might go ahead and follow the animal out with the kli. So if he's holding the kli but not the animal, certainly there's a requirement to have most of the animal inside. When do we have the question? In the case of Heicha Denokat Mona, he's holding the kli, Venokat La, and he's also holding the animal. So he's firmly holding on to the animal. Perhaps this element works in his favor. It will eliminate the concern of the animal pulling himself back out and this fellow following with the kli. What is the halacha there? Meaning, in a nutshell, do we need both conditions to be met? Do we need that? Number one, he should be holding on to the animal. Number two, the animal should be mostly inside. So both elements are required, or perhaps one or the other is sufficient. So if the animal is mostly inside, that's okay, even if he's not holding on to it. Or perhaps if he's holding on to the animal, then we don't need it to be mostly inside. So both elements required, or one is enough, either one. So we have a raya from the following brace, from our Mishnah. Mishnah says, we need to leave enough space between the board and the bear. Why? To allow the head and most of the para to come in there and to drink. So apparently that's a requirement. Now, what are we speaking about? Is he holding the animal or not holding the animal? My love, should we not assume that we're speaking about the nokat la? The nokat mana. He's holding the animal, also the kli. So apparently both conditions need to be met. Number one, he needs to hold on to the animal, and even when he's holding the animal needs to be found mostly inside. So apparently one of these elements are not enough. Says Marloi, no, not necessarily. Perhaps he's speaking about that only one element is present, the nokat mana. He's holding the kli, but loy nokat lo, but he's not actually holding on to the animal. Therefore, we require the animal to be mostly inside. But should we have a case where he's actually holding on to the animal, that element is enough to negate the concern of carrying. He doesn't need to be mostly inside the contained area. Says the Gemara, but you can't say that. V'chi nokat mana, v'loy nokat la mishari. So you want to tell me that when he's not holding on to the animal, that's when we require the animal to be mostly inside. But in that case, when he's nokat mana, he's holding the kli, v'loy nokat la, he's not holding onto the animal, mishari, in that case, can one go ahead and feed the animal altogether? Meaning, even if it's mostly inside, that wouldn't be allowed, as we find in a brisa. That actually holding onto the animal is an absolute requirement. But Tanya, I haven't learned in the brisa. Well, you mali odam mayim, v'item b'shabos lifnei behemta. So we're speaking about an animal who is mostly roish v'rubay in the contained area of the pasi b'rois. The brisa tells us still he cannot directly feed his animal. He can't hold a kli and give his animal to drink. But he can go ahead, draw water, and spill it out on the floor. And allow the animal to drink on its own. So the fact that Bryce is telling us that even when the animal is mostly inside, you cannot feed him directly. How does this fit with our Mishnah? That certainly allows one to do this. Apparently, the difference will be. Because in our Mishnah, he's holding onto the animal. On top of the fact that the animal is mostly inside. Whereas this Bryce is speaking about, he's not holding onto the animal firmly. Therefore, we cannot feed the animal, even if the animal is mostly inside. So apparently, both conditions need to be met. Number one, he needs to be held onto. Number two, the animal needs to be inside. Where should we? Says in Mahitma Allah. But that's a wrong interpretation of that Bryce. That Bryce is not merely speaking about your typical case, where the animal is mostly situated inside the pasibarois, and the concern there is because he's not holding onto the animal, which will indicate that situation wouldn't be mutter. No, that's not the case here. We're speaking about a scenario which is very unique, which involves another concern, which is unrelated to our Gemara. Ha'itmar lo, haven't we learned pshat in that brayse? Omar abayit. Ha'cha be'evus o'im nishis rab. We're speaking about a unique case. We have an avos, which is a feeding trough, a container, a very large container, present in Rishis Rabim, gavayu tfachim, which is 10 tfachim high, v'raychav dalet, and 4 tfachim wide, which is considered to be a Rishis HaYachd. And Rashi explains that this avos is stretching from a barn, which is Rishis HaYachd, where there are behemoths present, which access this avos, they stick their heads out and they feed off the, out of the feeding trough. Now this avos begins at the barn and stretches all along till the bein apasim. V'roisha echad nichas bein apasim, and heads straight into the area between the boards, which makes it very convenient. One draws water and he can go and spill it straight into the avos to benefit the animals. So the Brayis is telling us that he should not conduct himself the way he ordinarily does, which is that he goes ahead and draws water from the well which is inside the boards, Bein HaPas. Then he goes ahead and carries that bucket all the way to the barn. How does he do that? Because he lifts the pail. He's in the Bein HaPas. He lifts it off the ground. He lifts it onto the, over the avos. And then, as he's holding the kli, the pail, over the avos, which is the airspace of Shayachet, he goes ahead and he walks alongside the avos. So he's standing in Shesurabim. That's allowed. He can stand in Shesurabim with his hand, which holds the kli, is suspended over the Shesurabim. That's fine. And he walks all along the avos in that manner until he reaches, gets to the animal, and pours the water in there. So the Bais is telling us, don't do this. A person should not go ahead and conduct himself during Shabbos as he does during the weekday. Why? Gzeira, dil mechazer le'evas de mekalkal. Perhaps this is a concern that he might notice the avas has become damaged. And instead of continuing on and dragging this pail over to the barn, he might go ahead and decide to first fix the avos, this container. How's he going to do it? First, he's going to put down the pail and just wrap it. Vos et zikune. He's going to go ahead and try to fix the avos. V'dor le'odav v'adei. He's going to bring the pail along with him and place it down in just wrap. So he picked it up in just a yachid between the boards, and then he put it down in just wrap. That's how it's so. V'kamafik in just a yachid just wrap. It's going to result in a melacha v'itzah. He took something from between the Bein HaPasim out to Shesurabim. Therefore, the Brayis is warning us, don't do this. A person should not go ahead and pick a pail up from between the Pasim and carry it above the Avos while he's walking in Shesurabim, because this might result in Melacha Beitzah. So this is unrelated to our discussion we had earlier. It's a unrelated concern, unrelated gzera, which involves the Melacha Beitzah. Says the Gemara, how can you say this would be the concern of the Brayis? Let's say, a worst case scenario, he noticed something wrong with the Avos while he's holding onto the pail, and decided, you know, I'm going to fix the Avos, and he puts down the pail in Shesurabim. But let's think for a second. Initially, when he picked the pail up in the Bein HaPasim area, which is Shayachet, what was his intended plan? Did he have a machshava to put in Shesurabim? Did he have a machshava of Haitzah? No. His plan was to carry it above the Avos, which doesn't involve Haitzah at all. Says the Gemara, even if ultimately he decided to put it down in Shesurabim, he really hasn't committed any melacha whatsoever. Because when it comes to Haitzah, or any melacha, we need melechas machsheves. It needs to be a realization of one's plan. It needs to have plan and purpose, meaning you can't say, well, retroactively, we're going to consider the Akira. We know that a melacha Haitzah needs two elements, Akira and Hanocha. Needs to be lifted off one rishus and placed down another rishus. So these two components are vital for the completion of Melacha Beitzah. Now, when he did the Akira, when he lifted it off the ground from the Rishus Hayachad, from the Bein HaPasim, what was his intent and purpose? Not to place it in Rishus Rabim, not to do Melacha Beitzah, but rather to take it into another Rishus Hayachad, which is perfectly fine. So even if he ended up putting Rishus Rabim, he has not done a Melacha Beitzah, because the initial plan during the Akira was not to complete in this manner. So you can't retroactively consider that Akira as part of this malach. So there's no concern of malach whatsoever. So why is the Brayis so concerned that this might result in a malach? Says the Gemara, if he actually puts it down in Shesur Rabim, is he really chayiv? V'omer Rav Safar, Omer Rav Ami, Omer Rav Yochanan, ha'mafan chafotz of mezavos lezavos. The person is merely moving around objects. He's clearing chafetzim from one corner of his house to the other. And midway, while he's holding it in his hands, he has a change of heart. He decides, yeah, I'm going to take it out, and he takes it out. He's potter. Even if he did the akira in Rosh Hashanah, why? Because the intent doing the akira, the initial lifting off the ground, was not for this purpose. So why are we so concerned in the case of the avos? Says the Gemara, Ella, rather, there's another concern. There's a concern which involves a real malach. What is that? Zimnin the mesakle. So what's going to happen is that he picks it up from the Bein HaPasim, he begins walking, and then he notices something wrong with the avos. So he puts it down in Shisarab. So at this point, he has not committed a malach of Eitzah, as we discussed. But now, he fixed the avos. He's going to resume his activity. So what's he going to do? He's going to pick it off the Shisarab and pour it into the avos. Now he has committed a malach. So it's his next phase, next stage that we're concerned about. Elazim de Masakli, perhaps he's going to fix the avos, v'hadu ma'ayli, and then go bring the pail in from Shisarab into Shisayachit. And this is considered to be a true malacha, a malacha v'achnasa, bringing something from Shisarabim into the Ishrav, which is Sayachid, and therefore we're concerned about this eventuality. We don't allow him to conduct himself as he does during the weekdays, which is suspend the pail above the Avos and walk alongside it, for concern this might result in a malach. So in conclusion, we had a question regarding feeding an animal in a case where the fellow is holding onto the kli, the animal is partially within the contained area. So I wanted to know whether two elements are required or one is enough. Do we need that number one, the animal should be held by the owner, and also number two, be mostly in this contained area to eliminate, to avoid any concern of the animal going back and just rob him and the owner following with the kli? Or perhaps either one of these elements is sufficient. Either you're holding onto the animal, and it's not mostly inside, or even if you're not holding onto the animal, but if it's mostly inside, that would allay our fears. At this point, we didn't really conclude on the halach. Ikud Amri. Others had a different version of this question, as follows. Gabi Adam, when it comes to a person who's standing in one rishos and leaning over to another rishos, Hakam Rinan, we've already said, the Sagli Bresh Verubay. It is sufficient when his head and most of his body is inserted in the next rishus, as we had in the Mishnah there, that certainly is allowed. The question is by an animal. Is it sufficient if most of the animal is inside? Or perhaps that's not sufficient. Meaning, the Gemara in the second version is working with the premise that Rosh Aruba is a prerequisite. That's an absolute requirement. You can't get away from that requirement. The question is it enough? Does that allay our fears and eliminate the concern? And analyzes the Gemara. So when the fellow is actually holding onto the kli, which is from which he's feeding the animal, is actually holding onto the animal itself. In that case, there's certainly no question. The fact that most of the animal, the head and most of the animal, is inserted, is present in the shayachid, that certainly allays our fears and addresses our concerns. So when both elements are present, number one, he's holding onto the animal to prevent the animal from leaving. Number two, most of the animal is here. So both elements combined certainly address our concern, and it's mutter. Ella, ki tiberlech, rather, when will you have a question? In the case of the naket mana, he's holding onto the kli. V'loi naketla, but he's not holding onto the animal himself. Mai, what is lach in this case? If the animal is mostly inside, Rosh Aruba Bifnim, is that sufficient basis to allow the owner to feed the animal? Or perhaps both conditions must be met. Number one, Rosh Aruba Bifnim. Number two, he has to actually hold on to the animal. So according to this version of events, the question was as follows. Rosh Aruba is certainly a given. There's no way to get around that. The question is, do we also need, on top of that, holding onto the animal? Are both elements required, or perhaps Rosh Aruba alone is sufficient? Amalei Tanisua, Mo responds, we have a right from our Mishnah, which says, Vavashat hei para Rosh Aruba b'fnei b'shoisa. So we leave enough space between the boards and the bear to allow the para's head and most of his body to come inside and drink. So apparently, that allows the parah to be fed. My love, perhaps aren't we speaking about the naked mana? He's holding on to the kli and feeding the animal, but lo naked lo. He's not actually holding on to the animal. Apparently, this roish of aruba element is sufficient to allow, and you don't need to actually hold on to the animal as well. So malai, no, the naked mana. We're speaking about he's holding the kli. The naked lo. In addition to that, he's holding on to the animal, and both elements are present. He's holding the animal, and the animal's here. V'chinam mistaver. This seems to be the correct approach, that both elements are required. Because if we're speaking that he's holding the kli and not the animal, Mishari, is that allowed? Vatani, haven't we learned? A person should not fill, draw water, and feed his animal with a kli, but he can draw water, fill up water, and spill it out, and have the animal drink on its own. And we're speaking about the case where the animal is mostly inside the pasi berois. Apparently, the reason why it's usur in this brisa, in contrast, which our Mishnah, which allows, is because this brisa is speaking about that all of the animals mostly here, but it's not being held on to. Apparently, both elements are required. Says the Gemara, no. The reason why this brisa doesn't allow feeding the animal, it's not because he's not holding onto the animal. It's on account of another concern. Haven't we learned the pshat on this brisa on Abaye? We're speaking about another unrelated concern. Hacha be'evus. We're speaking about a feeding container. It's 10 tvachim high, 4 tvachim wide, which is a sayachid. And it leads into the bein apasim. And generally, what they do is they fill water and they walk along the avos, holding the water above the bein apasim. And there's a concern of itza, as we mentioned earlier, the zimin, the chazal avos, the mekalkil. Perhaps there's a concern that he'll see the avos damaged, the vasil, the kunil, he'll come to fix it, and drag the pail along with him, and place it in Shesarabim, which results in a blach of Haitzah, which will result in him doing a Haitzah from the Pasim area, which is Shesayachid, and then place it in Shesarabim, which is a blach of Haitzah. So it's unrelated to our discussion. Generally speaking, perhaps, if the par is mostly in the Bein HaPasim, one can feed him, even if he's not holding on to the animal, because the condition of Rosh Aruba is paramount, and that determines matters. This case of the brisa, speaking about this Ava's concern, which is unrelated. Says Gemara v'chagavim machayev, why are we concerned that he's going to place him shesurabim? When initially, when he picked it up, he had no intent to do that. That wouldn't involve a malacha. From Rav Safrod, Rav Ambi, Rav Yochanan, didn't he tell us the name Rav Yochanan, Mafana chafotzav mezavis lezavis? A person is merely clearing items in his house, and he picks something up, and he decides to take it out. V'nim lachalim letzitzia, and decides to take them outside. Potter. Since the initial lifting of the ground was not for this purpose, therefore he can't change his plan mid-route. So why is it a concern in the case of the Avos? Since initially he had no plan to place in Shesarabim, Ella rather the concern is in the Masakinle, perhaps after he fixes the Avos, then he might go ahead and lift the pail which he had placed in Shesarabim, lift it and bring it into the Shesayachin, into the Avos. In this case, it's a malach of Eitzah, become ayil, le mishasarabim, mishasayachid. So that's the concern, a malach of achnasa, which involves a malach of derais. So this brice here is unrelated to our discussion. The brice is discussing a concern of a malach of Eitzah, achnasa, but certainly a case such as ours, that doesn't apply. And we still have our question intact. What is the halacha? When a para is mostly inside the enclosed area, is that sufficient, or must he hold on to the para in order to feed him? So at this point in the Gemara, we have a question and two versions of that question. When a person is feeding an animal through a kli that he's holding in his hand, there's a concern that he might follow the animal out of Shesarabim. So we have two elements that we can employ to avoid that concern. Number one, the animal is roishe v'rubay in this contained area. Number two, he's actually holding onto the animal. So we had a shiloh, and we have two versions of that shiloh. The first approach to the question was, certainly, when both elements are present, Roish Aruba b'fnim, and he's actually holding onto the behemoth, of course, that addresses any concern, and that would be butter. The question is, are indeed both required? Perhaps, if only one is present, that is sufficient. Either Roish Aruba b'fnim, or when he's holding onto the behemoth. At this point, the Gemara did not resolve the question yet. The second approach of the Gemara was, the condition of Roish Aruba is a given. That's granted, that's necessary. So when it's Roish Aruba b'fnim and he's actually holding onto the behemah, certainly that's mutter. The question is, perhaps, when only one element of Roish Aruba b'fnim is present, Is that sufficient to allay our fears? Or do we need that additional element holding on to the behem? Continues the Gemara Toshma, let's bring a raya to the question as posed in the first version. The Gemara wanted to know whether both elements are required, or perhaps one without the other is sufficient. Says the Gemara Toshma, come listen to the raya from the following price. Gomol sheroyshe v'rubim bifnim. We have a camel whose head and most of his body is irish sayachit. Oysen oysen bifnim. One can force feed it from the irish sayachit. Says the Gemara Ibus, this type of process of force feeding is command the naked mana v'naked la damya. Is equated to holding on to the kli, because he's holding on to the food which he's feeding, and it's also naked la. It's like he's holding on to the animal, because you can't force feed it without actually holding on to the animal. So it's like that case that we discussed earlier of holding the kli and holding the animal. Nevertheless, Bryce says, what is required? Despite the fact that he's holding the animal, the ka ba'in and roi shavruba. We require that the head of most of the animal should be inside. Apparently, the fact that he's merely holding on to the animal, that's not sufficient. We need also roi shavruba. Omrav acha, brav huna, omrav sheshes. There's no raya from here. Shami gomel. A camel is way different. Hoyovet savor aruch. Since he has, his neck is very long. So even if he's holding on to the animal, that's not enough, because he can easily turn his head back. Out in Shusarabim, in which case there's a concern that he might follow him with the food. Therefore, this price requires him to be mostly in Shusayachid, even in a case where the owner is holding on to the animal. But your standard animal doesn't have this concern. And perhaps, if you're holding on to the animal, that will be enough, even if he's not mostly inside. Toshma, let's bring another raya, behema, sheroi shevrubim fnim, an animal whose head and most of his body is inside, oysen oysen fnim, one can force feed it from inside. Va'ibus, this type of force feeding, is kamanda nakat mana, v'nakat la. It's as though he's holding on to the kli, which is the food which he's feeding, and also holding on to the animal. You can't force feed without holding the animal. Nevertheless, v'kabe'inan roi shevrubim. We require that the head of most of the animal should be inside. Apparently, holding is not sufficient. Says the Gemara, my behema nami d'tani gomel. The term behema here, as well, is referring to a gomel, which entails a unique concern because of its long neck. But an ordinary animal, perhaps, would be different. Says Mar, how can you say this behema is a gomel? Vatani behema. Haven't we learned in the Braisa the word behema? Vatani gomel. And we have another Braisa. A reference to Gomel. So apparently, behema here is not Gomel, because Gomel was already learned in the previous brises. Says Mar, midigav yadodi tanya, these two brises learned next to each other, in the same yeshiva, in the same location, meaning, just because in the first brise, it mentions Gomel, and the second brise, behema, doesn't mean that behema in the second brise is not referencing Gomel. Perhaps, the second Tana merely referred to a Gomel as behema. Tani nami hachi. We learned likewise in the Braisa that Gomel involves a new concern. Rav Blazer oisev a Gomel. Rav Blazer disagrees with the Braisa here. He says you cannot force feed a camel since his neck is very long, in which case, even if you're holding him and he's mostly inside, there is a concern that he might go ahead and bend his neck outside and have the owner follow him. So Rav Blazer disagrees, doesn't allow force feeding the animal in this case, because a camel entails a unique concern of, on account of his long neck. But in any case, we see that a camel does involve an additional concern on account of his long neck. And that's going to explain why the braisa requires the camel, despite that he's being held, to be mostly inside. But perhaps an ordinary behema would not have all these conditions, and if you're holding on to the behema, that's enough. You can feed him even if he's not mostly inside. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a case of a chotzer, which is accessing the Bein HaPasim. Could one carry to and from the Bein HaPasim? If it's only one chotzer, there's no concern. If we have two chotzeres simultaneously accessing the Bein HaPasim, so even when they made an Erev, we have machlekes, whether they can or cannot transfer to the Bein HaPasim. Rav Huna says no, Rav says yes. All agree if the partition between these chotzeres was nifrat, becomes breached, in which case the chatzeres merge into one, there's no concern whatsoever. The Gemara tells us that the mechitzas of the pasim are considered to be a mechitza min haTorah. However, midrabban, you cannot carry within them unless there's actually water present. If the water dries up, you must stop carrying. If the water comes back, you can resume carrying. Rav Leza tells us, His machitzas hold firm ground, even if the rabbim are walking right through them. The Gemara tells us that if a person is standing in Rishus HaYachid, he'd like to drink from a kli in Rishus HaRabim, he must make sure that his head and most of his body is leaning into Rishus HaRabim. When it comes to feeding an animal in such a manner, we have two elements, Roish HaVerubay, and we also have the element of holding on to the animal. The Gemara wants to know whether both elements are needed, or perhaps one is sufficient, and we leave it unresolved.